Listen to God's word. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Today is referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday. The Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23. Jesus letting us know not once but twice in today's lesson that I am the Good Shepherd. And even the lection that was not read from another part of the New Testament, talk about sheep and shepherds. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You were going away like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. When I think of Jesus as the good shepherd, my mind often turns to the image of Jesus carrying the little lamb, presumably the one that Jesus left the other 99 to go and find. The words of the 23rd Psalm have brought comfort and peace to many of you over the years. I have never led a funeral service where I have not either read it, prayed it, or asked everyone else to join in with me. There is something about that image of being shepherded, of God shepherding us, of having someone who cares for us, who loves us, who watches out for us. It is good to have a Lord who shepherds us, isn't it? You don't sound too convinced. It's good to have a Lord who shepherds us, isn't it? Thank you. One that we know will seek for us when we are lost, one who loves us so much that he laid down his life for us. One that will guide us when we start to go astray. One who calls us home when we wander far off. One whose voice we know above all other voices that call us. Kind of like having a good mom. It's good to have a shepherd. But have you ever thought of the fact, really, that if Jesus is our good shepherd, then we are sheep? Now, I have a history with sheep. I often take retreat over the years at a place called Mount Savior Monastery down near Pine City, near Elmira, New York. And their business, because they have to do something to provide income for the monastery, is raising sheep. I have been there through all different experiences with those sheep. I was there one time when they were trying to round up the sheep in order to separate them, in order to wean the lambs that had been born that spring from their mothers. I don't know if you've ever tried to round up sheep. If you can keep them together, they're okay. If they get off in little groups, they're a disaster. Well, of course, they got off in little groups, and then one group found a hole in the fence, and it was a long, long story. And then, of course, a thunderstorm came up as we're traipsing through the pastures trying to find all the sheep and to round them up and to block the holes in the fence. And then if that wasn't enough from traipsing around through the hilly pastures all day, a thunderstorm came up and all of us ended up being drenched to the bone. That night it happened to be kind of warm. As I laid there exhausted from a long day of chasing sheep, just as about the time I was ready to go to sleep, the little lambs realized that they could no longer get to their mothers. Couldn't shut the window because it was too warm for that, and all night long it was bah, 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 as mothers and lambs tried to find each other. Another time I happened to show up down there, and they were inoculating the lambs, giving them some shots to prevent them from certain diseases. Being one of the younger and bigger retreatants at that time, I was charged with picking up the lamb, flipping it over, and holding it so they could give it a shot. Well, if any of you have ever been in a sheep pen, you know what's on the bottom of a sheep pen. Right? So every time you reach down and grab a lamb and flip it over, you get covered with sheep stuff. So my experience with sheep hasn't always been uplifting. And some even call sheep dumb. My uncle's father-in-law was a sheep farmer, and I remember him telling me one time that sheep were so dumb that if you laid them on their back, they were too stupid to roll over, and their lungs would fill with fluid and they'd drown. So all that taken together, I'm not sure I want to be a sheep. But I don't think the Bible gives me an option. If the Lord is my shepherd, then I am a sheep. I think the problem with our attitude towards having a shepherd is kind of like sometimes our attitude towards having a mom. We want a mom who will pick up after us, who will clean our cuts and scrapes, who will care for us when we are sick, who will be there to listen to our complaints, to be a shoulder to cry on or a warm arm to have around us when things aren't going well. Basically, we want a mom who is there when we want a mom. And on those times when we don't really think we need a mom, when we think we're better off on our own, it's easy to say, thank you very much. I've got this. I can do it on my own. I'm my own person. I don't need your help. I don't need you to set boundaries and those pesky little rules to try to help me live life. I can do it very well, thank you. Sometimes we do that with moms, and sometimes we do that with God as well. We want a God who's there for us when we want God to be there. And other than that, it's easy to say, God, I've got this. I'm okay. I think much of what passes for Christianity today is really not what I read as the Christian faith found in scriptures, but more what has been labeled moralistic therapeutic deism. Write it down if you want and look it up. Moralistic therapeutic deism. Now, my own definition of this goes something like this. The goal of life is to be happy. When we are not happy, we expect God to come and make us happy. Other than that, we'd really rather God didn't interfere. Folks, that's not having a shepherd. That's having an emergency response unit to be ready at our beck and call whenever we find ourselves in those situations where we can't make it on our own. I've pondered as I've thought about Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd, all the other things he could have said that he didn't. Why didn't Jesus say, I'm a great teacher, you are my brilliant students. You kids can do anything you put your minds to, so study hard and get to it. Or maybe Jesus could have said, I'm the great do-gooder, and you are my valuable little assistant do-gooders. Go and do good. Or maybe Jesus could have said, I'm the CEO in the front office, and you're all my second-level managers out there working the floor. So get to the work. Look busy. Do something. But he didn't. No, Jesus didn't say any of those things. What he said, and this is my translation, is I am the loving, searching, seeking, self-sacrificial shepherd. And again, my interpretation, and you are my wayward, inept, wandering, lost, totally dependent on me, hollowed horned, docile, dumb, and domesticated sheep. Sometimes we can only say, wow, thanks, Jesus. And as happens so many times with God's word, a seemingly sweet, reassuring passage, I am the good shepherd, really has another meaning. Jesus saying he is the good shepherd is an assault on just about everything we want to believe about ourselves. It's a metaphorical affront to the way we enjoy thinking about ourselves as being independent, as being able to muddle through, to conquer, to overcome, except when we can't, and then we want help. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He didn't say, now I want you to get organized, take matters into your own hands, turn the gospel into a technique for self-improvement. What he said is, I am the shepherd, and you are the sheep. And then Jesus raises the definition of what being a good shepherd is to the nth degree by saying the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. If Jesus could have merely improved the sheep, equipped the sheep, enlightened the sheep, that is, if he could have taught us as sheep the key to saving ourselves, he never would have had to say, the good shepherd not only loves the sheep, but lays down his life for the sheep. Because not only is that the kind of shepherd we have, but it's the kind of shepherd we need. Not just one who is there to bail us out when we can't overcome by ourselves, but one who loves us so much and cares for us so much that he gave everything he had for us. I pride myself on being somewhat intelligent. I try to hang out with people that are smart so I can learn to talk like smart people. I try to read books that are written by really smart people so I can sound intelligent when I'm talking to other smart people. I like to think I can figure some things out and think about deep thoughts and study scripture and help lead a church. But I think sometimes what we need to do is to just get stupid. To set aside our own attempts at living an abundant life and to receive the life that Jesus offers to us. Because he is the good shepherd and we are his sheep. And although at times that may be a heck of an inconvenience for us, in the end, we can be glad that that's the way it is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.